All right. Well, thanks for running the meeting. I just was able to teach the youth fellowship. That was really cool. I gave them an excerpt of what we're going to be getting into. And, well, it was great. They're all eager ears and eager hearts. And I trust you are the same. Well, you want to go English or Spanish first today? English. Okay. I am what the Word of God says I am. I have what the Word of God says I have. I will be what the Word of God says I will be. I can do what the Word of God says I can do. And I have God's favor in my life. Yo soy lo que la palabra de Dios dice que soy. Yo tengo lo que la palabra de Dios dice que tengo. Yo seré lo que la palabra de Dios dice que seré. Yo puedo hacer lo que la palabra de Dios dice que puedo hacer. Y yo tengo el favor de Dios en mi vida. Give yourselves a hand. You just got to do that. You guys are great. Well, we're going to talk about, you can either call this teaching 3 days or repent and listen. And I'd like, but it's not a hard teaching. I mean, you might think I'm teaching just to you. Everybody always does. But I'm not. I'm just sharing God's Word with you, hoping that you can glean a little bit more of something that can take you a lot further with God in this next week, next year of your life. Matthew chapter 12. That's where we're going to start. To repent and to listen are two of the greatest things you could do to forward God's Word in your life and lifestyle. Many people think that change is a long way off. Many think that others can change, but not they. They look and see others in prosperity, but not they. They look and see others with joy, but not they. They look and see others with health, but not they. I'm here to say that God's Word is meant for you and that you can have it without waiting days, years, decades, or even a lifetime. Some of the most remarkable changes, biblically, have taken place in 3 days. What do you have to do? Matthew chapter 12, verse 39. I'd like to read you something that Jesus taught some wicked people. They represented a wicked generation, and Jesus was confronting them. And so there's a lot of depth in these few verses that I'm going to show you. And I'm going to talk about some of that depth. But it all has to do with repenting, with listening. Verse 39. But he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation, and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And behold, a greater than Jonas is here. The Queen of the South shall rise up in the judgment with this generation, and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with him 7 other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. And out of that, we find two main points, and there's many other points, but the two of repenting and of listening come to the forefront in what I'm going to share. We all know about Jonah and his whale's belly experience, but we don't give due emphasis to why he was in the whale's belly and to why he didn't want to go to Nineveh and to what the people of Nineveh were like. Well, I'm glad we know a little bit about it. But we see in verse 41, the men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And behold, a greater than Jonas is here. Now, who's the greater? Jesus Christ. He was the one talking to these people. He is the one that is definitely greater than Jonas. So there's a lot more to the story. The people of Nineveh repented. They changed from their evil ways in a matter of 3 short days. Now, this was a huge city for those times. There were over 60,000 people in that city. And it was a very evil place. Very evil. Jonah was asked by God to go into the city and preach that if you don't change, you're going to be destroyed. And Jonah said, I ain't doing it. And he took off in the opposite direction trying to hide from God. Jumped on a ship. Ship left the port. God sent a huge storm. And it was going to destroy the ship. They couldn't bring it back to land. They were trying to. Jonah was down in the ship sleeping while everybody else was topside freaking out. And they wanted to find out who caused this, because they believed that somebody on that ship was actually causing this problem. And they went and found Jonah, and they said, well, why aren't you praying to your God? And they pulled him up topside with everybody else, and Jonah had told them that he was a Hebrew, that he was serving the Hebrew God, and they also told him that he was running away from God. Well, they said, well, there it is. So we need to throw you overboard. But they didn't want to. At that moment, they kept trying, rowing, but they still couldn't. So finally, they decided, and Jonah says, look, just throw me over. So they threw him over. Everything became calm. God had prepared a huge fish to gobble Jonah up, and I would assume no teeth, because he landed in the whale's belly intact. And eventually, 3 days, 3 nights later, the old whale spit him out on dry land, and there was God again. Jonah, go to Nineveh. This time Jonah went. And before he was one day into that city, he was preaching that if you don't change, God's going to destroy this city in 3 days. The city repented. The whole city, from the king all the way down, 3 days. Not only did they decide to change, but they changed their work, their actions, their activities, enough so to convince God to not destroy it. So God said, I'm not going to destroy it. And that really made Jonah mad. Because Jonah said, well, you said you were going to destroy it. Now destroy it. Who cares if they changed? Anyway, that's a whole nother story. Well, what was it that stopped God destroying that city? The men, what does it say? Was it verse 41? Tell me. Because they repented. They changed. Now, you might think your life is a struggle. And you might think, oh my gosh, this is going to take weeks, months, years. Over 60,000 people changed in less than 3 days. That's a teaching in and of itself. Jesus was teaching that to those wicked Jews. to that wicked generation. So you guys can say all you want, but you could change. But Jonah, even in his stubbornness and rebellion against God, was better than you, and he's going to get to judge you. Then he started talking about Sheba, the queen of the south. Well, I'd like to say before I talk to her that you don't have to wait for the mountains to fall flat. You don't have to wait for the earth to move under your feet. You don't have to ask God for signs, and you're not supposed to. You don't have to go through untold volumes of drama just to see something happen in your life. God will do it as soon as you change. Change is what brings about change. Your change so that you can get God's change. The Queen of Sheba was really something. She heard about Solomon's wisdom. She heard about the beauty of the temple. She heard about all his wealth. Now, God's the one that brought that to Solomon. God's the one that gave Solomon the knowledge and the wisdom. And this woman wanted to check it out. She wanted to check it out. And so, in 1 Kings chapter 10, I'll show you what she did with Solomon. And I love looking at these examples of people because it helps to remove any type, any stereotype that you maybe think you have to have of yourself. Like, I have to be this way, or I have to be that way for God to accept me. You know, just like your mannerisms or speech or such. Jonah was just amazingly stubborn. He just refused to bend. Probably until the day he died. That's the way he was. He was so angry that God didn't destroy those people that he went and sat down in a booth, and it was so hot out there that, you know, he was dying. And so God made a gourd grow above his head to shadow him, and it made Jonah exceeding glad, you know. Oh, look, God's done something to me, so I'm getting away with my anger. The next night, God had a worm come in and eat up the gourd. So the next day, the sun fried his brain again. And then he was mad, and God said, look, man, and had a little talk with him and said, do you think you're mad about the gourd? Well, yeah, it shouldn't have been destroyed. And so you're saying that this gourd's more important than the people of Nineveh, and that you have the right to your anger. And the teaching was, no, you don't. Well, Jonah never seemed to change on that, and that's where it ended. But when you see that Jonah's going to get to be part of that judgment against these wicked Jews, you know that Jonah was still accepted. Now, that's the part I like. And then the Queen of Sheba. Well, in 1 Kings 10, verse 1, and when the Queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. I've had people come to me with hard questions, and I certainly don't have the wisdom of Solomon. And a lot of times I've had to say, I don't know. You know? So thanks for asking, but I don't know. But they've come in a belligerent sense. Okay? And I'm sure you've had to deal with the same thing. She came to prove him, test him with hard questions. Nobody can have answers to all these questions. That was what she thought. And she came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels that bear spices, and very much gold and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. I think that's fabulous. And that is the nature of God, folks. if you're dealing with God, and if your heart's right, you're opening your heart to Him, and you're communing with Him. Well, the most Sheba knew of God was Solomon. She wasn't an Israelite, a Hebrew, or anything like that. Okay? And Solomon told her all her questions. He answered everything. And there was not anything hid from the king which he told her not. He held nothing back. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom and the house that he had built, oh my gosh, I wish you could have seen it. You would have been amazed. You would have been awestruck. There was so much gold on that temple, that house, that when you come over the hills, it would blind you. Especially in the morning when the sun would hit it. Gold is the most reflective and brilliant of all the elements. And the way the temple was decked with that, it would just blind you. You couldn't look at it. You simply couldn't. And it was an amazing sight in the wintertime when the mountains all around were covered in snow and there was this gold shining at you. You just couldn't look at it. For hours of the day, they couldn't ever look toward it because it was so bright. And the brilliance of God's Word, if you allow it into your life, has the ability to take you far above any other element that you deal with because of its nature. And Sheba saw that. The Queen of Sheba saw that. She saw that it wasn't just Solomon's wisdom, but look at the house. And it wasn't just that, but look at God. Because all those things took her to God. And she had never had God before. And every man basically is God hungry. And so if a man is God hungry and goes to where God's Word is, that man will be filled. He's got to be willing to listen. Now she had a lot of questions, but she was willing to listen. She showed that she was willing to listen because she communed all her heart. You don't just open your heart without being willing to listen. Most people who talk and aren't willing to listen don't ever open their heart. There's no heart in it. See, that's what Jesus was dealing with. These wicked generation people, their hearts weren't open to God and they weren't open to Jesus. So they weren't listening. And of course, they wouldn't receive any benefit from His talk. Verse 5, and the meat of His table, and the sitting of His servants, and the attendance of His ministers, and their apparel, and His cupbearers, and His ascent by which He went up unto the house of the Lord, and there was no more spirit in her. All the fight was removed. Totally removed. You've got to understand that Jesus was confronting a wicked and adulterous generation. Very wicked. And He told them of two easy ways to change from their wickedness. Here's just little Jesus talking about little Jonah and little Sheba and the men of Nineveh and all the people that Sheba represented, because you can be guaranteed she took that back. And He was just talking to these wicked people. Now, wickedness has a way to mount up. Wickedness has a way to make you think it's going to overcome. Wickedness encroaches. It just crawls in everywhere. It's like a bug crawling under your sheets. You know? Yeah. Yuck. But wickedness gets in. It's like grieving. If somebody died or if something bad happened and now you're grieving. Heck, you think that it's happened to you. You think that you're dying. You think that you're sick. You think that you just got a divorce or whatever. You know? And you didn't. But wickedness has a way to encroach. It slithers in on its belly as it eats the dust of the earth. And what you have to recognize is you're not part of that. You're not part of that at all. But these people were wicked. And they didn't have an open heart. And they weren't willing to listen. And they certainly weren't planning on repenting. Yet Jesus was talking to them. He told them two easy ways. Little Jesus, big wicked. That's the way it can look. But really, it's big Jesus and little wicked, right? But isn't it funny how hard it is to get that kind of paradigm shift? Well, I'd like to say that it still is big Jesus Christ and little tiny belly in the dust, mouth eating dust all of its life, Satan. That's not going to change at all. All the days of your life, you're going to eat the dust of the earth. That's never changed. Didn't he say something else about that in Genesis? What else did he say about that? In verse 14 of chapter 3, "And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life." Well, there you have it. He's on his belly to this day. And let me tell you, somebody crawling on their belly is not going to move too far and too fast at any given time. And that's the nature of his warfare. It just can't. Because they're all on their bellies. And they're all gobbling up the dust of the earth. It's all getting in the way. So their warfare is thwarted at all times. And here's Jesus dealing with that old belly monger. And he's just saying, "Hey guys, it's pretty easy. All you got to do is listen and repent. That's all you have to do. It's pretty simple, boys. You just listen and repent. Big Jesus, little wickedness. Maybe it's time for you to have a paradigm shift. Maybe wickedness to you is big and Jesus is little. I don't know. You have to ask yourself. Take a good look. Examine yourself. How big is wickedness to you? And how big is Christ to you? Because you're never going to nullify his effects, the effects of Jesus Christ. They're always there available. They're always there waiting. They're always there attainable. Those old boys had to throw Jonah out of the ship. Is there anything you have to throw out? I think the principle just lives, folks. How many times have you had to clean out your closet? Okay, that's a principle. How many times have you had to clean out your drawers and your cupboards? And you just go and do this every once in a while. Your garage. Okay. We know the principle. It's the same for our lives. Maybe there's something or some things you need to throw out of your life. It's just not uncommon. And so you look within yourself and you say, "Well, I don't want to be stubborn like Jonah. And I don't want to be without God like Sheba was. And I certainly don't want to end up seven times worse if I don't listen and repent like the wicked generation to whom Jesus was speaking did. They have troubles." The problem with not listening and repenting is that change doesn't happen. It would have been so easy for those guys to listen. To listen to the story of Jonah. And to listen to what those men of Nineveh did. 60,000 people in less than 3 days changed their fate. And God said, I'm not going to touch them, man. They're doing okay by me now. 3 days. And we wonder about our own little tiny life. The Bible says that the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. You have every reason to want to change. You have every reason to listen. You have every reason to repent. Change any ways that you need to change. Because you have every right to God's abundance. And you really don't need to look at wickedness as huge and Jesus as little. Let's switch that. Let's make Jesus Christ the real Son of God. Okay? The bread of life. Make me think about the tree of life. You know, God made it grow up in the midst of the garden. But then he wouldn't let man eat of it. And he put those cherubims with flaming swords all around it on the east side of the garden. Now we don't know what happened to that old tree of life. But a tree of life can't die. Because it's a tree of life, and so these swords are all going around it. Maybe he took it to heaven. Well, it is going to be by the throne of God again. On the way leading out, as those waters of life come out of the throne, and it says the tree of life is going to be all over that area. People can come and eat of the leaves for the healing of the nations. So maybe that's where it is, right by his throne, right now. And maybe God's intent was to have his throne in that garden after man proved himself. Well, we don't know. So we've got two ends of the spectrum here. The tree of life in Eden, and the tree of life on the new earth. But we have something that happened in the middle. And that's when Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever eats of me is going to have eternal life. And every one of you have tasted of that. So have you eaten of the tree of life? Now that's a good question, don't you figure? That's a real good question. Because if it sounds about right, I think that if you eat of the tree of life, you have eternal life. Of course, you're going to know some things too, it says. We're going to wait for that one. But we get it. Knowledge and wisdom to know good and evil. Well, these guys didn't change. They didn't want to repent. They didn't want to listen. And they're dealing with it now. And we know they refused. But we can take this and look into our lives and say, well, how are we doing? Because I find myself particularly disturbed when an air of depression settles on people. Maybe you experience that yourself, to where you can't seem to escape sickness, and you can't seem to escape financial lack, for a better way to say it. You can't seem to escape feelings of despair. You can't seem to escape negative. Well, I'm here to say that you are the candle of the Lord. And so that ought not be. There's got to be a change. And my message is, it doesn't have to take a lifetime. You are not required to stay in a situation of lack for the next 10 years. I don't care if you've been in it for the last 10. Your change can happen in days, even minute, if you'd like to think that way. But I'd like to give you the biblical proof that it can happen in days. Jesus told them about those unclean spirits in Matthew because when you have people that won't listen and they won't repent, you've got unclean spirits. And there has to be true change. Because if there's enough listening, and there could be, to remove the spiritual problem, but not enough to establish a lifestyle of repentance, in other words, a changed lifestyle, changed works, changed habits, changed thinking, everything changed, like those 60,000 of Nineveh did, then those spirits can come back even more so. And that's what Jesus told them. He says, that's your problem. You didn't repent, you're not listening, and you're possessed. Those spirits are doing this to you. And we know that. Okay? So you need to understand something. If you need God in your life, if you're fighting off His ways in place of doing your own thing, then you need to stop. You need to listen. And you need to change. It's that easy. It'd be that easy for your kids. It'd be that easy for your kids' kids. It's never going to change. That's the way it is. It's that easy. All you have to do is seek God out in any particular area of need, then you learn from His Word, and then you change. It has to work. It worked for Sheba. It worked for the 60,000 of Nineveh. It worked for all those people that believed on Jesus Christ. And it worked against those that didn't. It's too easy to do things your way. But it's far easier to do things God's way. That's guaranteed. I know that you want to see God move in your life. I know you want to see more of God's prosperity, health, abundance in every way. I know you want to see that. I know you want to see some of that stuff taken off your back, the pressures. Well, here's the how of it. It comes down to listening, and it comes down to changing. We see these accounts throughout the Word, hundreds of them. And we learn that great things can happen in 3 days. Many great things can happen in 3 days. Pharaoh's butler was removed from prison after Joseph interpreted the dream in 3 days. Well, the baker didn't have it so good, but it was still 3 days. After he learned about his dream, it was 3 days later that he got his head cut off. Do you know that for 3 days a thick darkness was over Egypt? It was so dark that there was no light in the house of the Egyptians. But the Israelites had light in their homes. A thick darkness, it says. Do you know that Israel sacrificed unto God after leaving Egypt? After 3 days of journey into the wilderness? 3 days. Do you know that Israel was given 3 days' notice before they entered into the promised land? Do you know that the two spies of Jericho, the ones that Rahab the harlot helped by letting them down from her room, down the city wall, she told them, go hide yourself in the wilderness for 3 days. And they did, and those soldiers couldn't find them, and their lives were spared. Do you know that after 3 days, Joshua made a league with the men of Gibeon. Now, they were bad men. But he took 3 days before he made that decision. Then those guys ended up being the wood choppers and water bearers for Israel. Do you know that 3 days, and still is, was considered a proper amount of time to stay with somebody? You see all these events where people went to somebody's house or some situation, they just stayed 3 days and they left. That's the norm. David's men were considered hallowed or able to eat the hallowed showbread because they had kept themselves 3 days from women. That's all the priest wanted to know. Do you know that man's spirit nearly leaves him after 3 days without food and drink? That's right. David gave Amasa 3 days to gather the troops. 3 days. God allowed 3 days of pestilence. That was one choice, or 10 years of famine. But David took the 3 days of pestilence. But God allowed 3 days of pestilence upon David's people when those things happened. King Rehoboam, he took 3 days to make important decisions. Deliberately, 3 days. I'll have your answer in 3 days. See you then. Elijah sent 50 men to look for the body of Elijah. They looked for 3 days and they found him not. And they said, okay, that's it. Because God hid that body. Even the devil couldn't find it. He's still mad about it too. 3 days was the time limit given to gather together all the men of Judah and Benjamin. You remember Queen Esther? She fasted for 3 days and had her people fast before she went unto the king with her big request. Well, we know Jonah was in the whale's belly for 3 days and three nights. And we know that Jesus Christ was in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights. And we know that after 3 days, God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. We know that Saul could not see for 3 days. And then Ananias was sent to minister and to heal him. And we know, as we've studied Paul's journeys in the New Testament, that he'd stay in these places for 3 days and move on. 3 days and move on. 3 days and move on. If that's all the time he spent, that's all the time they needed. And I'm telling you folks, the changes that you want in your life, it can happen in 3 days. Don't you ever doubt that. In 3 days or less, you can see God move in your life. You don't have to wait weeks, months, or years. 3 days. Listen and change.